Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, radio listeners everywhere.
Out there in radio land.
Welcome to Growing with NTI. Connie's going to pray for us tonight. So here we go. Connie.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, God. Thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for everything. I know when our resistance is high, and that's something I'm working to overcome. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this group that I'm in that supports me and loves me. I'm truly blessed. Thank you, dear God. Amen.
Amen. We may have to let you pray every week. That was pretty good praying. Katie says we made a laugh already. All right. So last time we were here, we had just started Acts, so we decided we'd just start over again tonight. We're not going to read whatever awful thing is happening in the Bible. But we are going to start with NTI Acts chapter 1. It's page 215 of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, scribed by our own Regina Dawn Akers. So here we go. Kathy says, phew, I got the Bible. All right. The power of all truth is within you. The story of Jesus is helpful to you as a guide, a tool, and a symbol. But the answer for you lies not in his story. If it had, he would have stayed on earth to provide the answer to you. But Jesus left your realm and returned to the Father, that you may be freed to find your answer within yourself. The Holy Spirit, which seemed to be given to the apostles when Jesus ascended from the world, was not passed on to them at this time. Only God can give the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God has given this gift to everyone. The gift has always been in the world, even before Jesus. This gift has always guided you. But as long as you continue to look outside of yourself for answers and satisfaction, you are unaware of this gift. Just looking in the wrong direction. When Jesus ascended and promised the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he only pointed the apostles to seek where the Holy Spirit already was. In this way, they learned not to look outside for teaching and guidance, but to clearly look within. And, you know, actually, this is what the Pharisees were so upset about, was Jesus was like, you know, it was tearing down the hierarchy of the church. You know, they had a system and a control, and Jesus was saying, don't listen to the laws or the rules or these Pharisee guys. You need to be turning within. And that's what got him in so much trouble with the Pharisees in the first place. Right?
Yeah. So when they killed Jesus, everybody had to look within because their symbol was gone.
No. Well, I mean, I think he brought a real gift to, obviously brought a real gift, but he brought that insight that you don't, just because there's the church says this, that, or the other, then you have to do this, that, or the other. You really have to look within for your own guidance. And the same point is being made here. Somebody was talking about, maybe I won't go there. I'll drop that there. All right. And that's what he says. She says. Holy Spirit says. This is my lesson to you. I am here to help for a time, but my purpose is to teach you to look and listen within. For always, your guidance must come from there, because always the answer is there. Your Your guidance must come from there because always the answer is there. The first step to listening within for the guidance of the Holy Spirit is prayer. But to hear Him truly, you must pray in a way that opens to Him. Prayer is not a time of asking for what you want. Prayer is a time of putting aside that which you want and opening to any guidance that He would give. Prayer is a time of gratitude for His love and wisdom. Prayer is a time of surrender because you seek nothing less than His love, wisdom, and guidance for you. And it's really funny because that tracks the prayer that you just led us into this program with, Connie. So thank you. It's really sweet. Of course, the point here of prayer is about opening, not asking for what you want, and about listening to whatever guidance there is. And that's what seems to be my lesson lately is, you know, I like to think that I've let go of the need to have certain outcomes. Things turn out a certain way. But when they're not turning out my way, I realize I've let go less than I think. Or, you know, I mean, I've got this house here that I rented out for a while, and it's finally come back to me. And, you know, it's like we went out there and looked at it yesterday, and it's in pretty rough shape, and it's going to take a lot of work, and that is not what I wanted to see. Tom was there to remind me that the house needs a lot of work. That's not what I wanted him to say to me, you know. But I realized, you know, when I sat with it, first I was just angry at Tom, that, you know, there was some anger for not dealing with these things sooner, you know, anger at myself for not dealing with these things sooner. And there was definitely a belief in the mind that I knew how this thing should go, you know, how much money needed to be spent. And, you know, I've already got that the money I'm going to make on the house spent, right, in my mind. So I have laid out a plan, right? And then I'm like, God, you got to back me up on this. when the truth is, all I need to remember, and I've learned this lesson in the past, and I've lived this lesson in the past, but I need a reminder. All I have to remember is your will, not mine. I mean, if it's all for my learning and all for my highest good. So if my highest good is for me to spend a fortune on this house and not get anything back out of it, well, then that's what it is. It's for me to maybe let go of, you know, this belief that I need to control my money, or, you know, or that I need to control how things work, or, you know, I mean, I don't know. I truly don't know what anything is for. And that's what my prayers need to say. You know, God, Holy Spirit, inner wisdom, I don't know what anything is for, and I surrender to your will. I mean, to me, it's just become real clear that that's where I need to be.
I had a similar thought today that I was thinking about. I think it was Gina Lake that's on one of the fat songs.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about the same thing that we've heard in the course, that the ego is just a bunch of thoughts. It's, you know, there's no ego.
Right.
There's no separate entity. Right. It's just thoughts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then of course the world is just a fiction of those thoughts. And so, if all that's the case, then I need to be about realizing that, you know, I don't want to be, what's his name on the Matrix saying, this, I know this isn't real, but the steak tastes really good.
Right.
Because that's the life I'm living. I know it isn't real, but the steak tastes pretty daggone good. And there seems like there's a call for a shift here now.
Yeah. Yeah, enough of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, prayer is a time of surrender because you seek nothing less than, and anything I can dream up will be less than, right? So prayer is a time of surrender because you seek nothing less than His love, wisdom, and guidance for you.
And not the stake.
And not the stake. And not the outcome I would envision.
Exactly.
Therefore, pray in this way. Oh, wait a minute. Gonna laugh. Because I said, you know, because so I've been realizing lately that I have been, that's the real call here is this prayer and this attitude, Father, your will, not mine. Well, I just looked down to read this prayer, and right it says, therefore pray in this way, and I have written in this book from who knows how many years ago, your will, not mine. Oh, yeah, that. Therefore, pray in this way. Father, I do not know what is best for me now, in this time, in this place, that I may be led back to you. Because I cannot see the path I am ready to walk, take my hand and send your voice to guide me. I shall go where it asks me to go, and I shall do as it asks me to do, in joy and peace and certainty. Kathy says, same message. No wonder the course is 660 pages of over and over and over. True, and I think that's absolutely true of NTI as well, which is, I'm looking at the pagination right now. And it is 490 pages of, yeah, the same message. Okay, the second step. So the first step is to open yourself in prayer and let go of your sense of outcomes, your belief that you know what's best for you, your belief that you know what anything's for. And the first step is to really open in prayer in that attitude of willingness to hear whatever the guidance is for us. The second step to listening for guidance is this. You must trust. You must not only trust the voice and the guidance you receive, you must also trust yourself. For the guidance comes from you through your knowing that is beyond conscious choice. To doubt yourself is to doubt your guidance. So you must trust yourself and trust what comes. Yeah, so this is where we get confused about, am I hearing ego or am I hearing guidance? And that's what this is talking about. You've got to trust in yourself. You can't continue, because like Connie was saying a while ago, Gina Lake was saying about ego being just being thoughts. And you know, it's certainly occurred to me, and I think it says here that here somewhere in NTI that ego is confusion. You know, the confused thoughts. And so to stay in confusion is to stay in ego. So you would have to open yourself, ask for guidance, and then do your best to follow what you think you heard. I mean, and, you know, and you become more and more practiced at it, I think.
Well, this certainly talks about certainty and I go where he asks me to go. I shall do as I am asked to do, in joy, peace, and certainty. So, I don't know if, I don't know how quick that certainty comes. But apparently, it's saying to trust that certainty
issue
is what you are and this is what you're about, so.
So to do that, yeah.
Of course, we've all met people that they were certain.
She laughed so hard she can't even say it. They were certain they were right.
They were
right?
Certain they were being guided.
Yeah, but yeah, but. Anyway,
I'm sorry. I'm messing up the whole point here.
No, it's good. And I will note that, and I know this note is from when I was with Regina out there when she was teaching this class on NTI, the Center for Inner Peace. It says, you must not only trust the voice and the guidance you receive, you must also trust yourself. And then the notation is, but not until you have no desired outcome. So that's that idea of becoming the empty shell. Not, you've got to, and that's part of the, as I was writing, you know, doing some self-inquiry yesterday after we went and saw the house, I had to, my particular desired outcome in that instance, when I felt, you know, I felt like Tom was poo-pooing the whole thing and being real negative and everything. I didn't feel like I needed that. I sure didn't want to hear it, blah, 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 you know, all of that. And but the first desired outcome I had to get rid of had nothing to do with the house. I had to get rid of the desire to be right. Right. But because I can't hear guidance. I mean, you know, maybe my initial inclinations were right, but that's beside the point, right? Because in order to open to guidance, I have to let go of the idea that I'm right. I have to let go. And for me, being right about it gave me a sense of security and was, in fact, a desired outcome, right? I mean, this is what, you know, I feel like I'm being led. I feel like I'm following guidance. I got it, you know. And then I've got to be stuck to it, you know. And it's just like, if that's not helpful, that's a closed mindset. That's a closed attitude. It's not opening to it. And, you know, guidance changes. You know, maybe it was the right thing yesterday, and not today. I mean, you know, you can't just lock onto it and just be right about what my guidance is, even.
Yeah, but
what I'm saying.
And what you realized is that there was some fear there, or you wouldn't have been upset.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's some fear that Tom's right.
Yeah, I'm laughing because, let's see, first of all, she says, yes, when there is a lot spinning around in my mind, it's like a vortex that demands I be sucked in. I'm seeing that more. Such an important pint. And she said, point. Maybe a pint would help. No, I don't think it'll help you get clear.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, so...
So trust yourself and trust what comes.
Right.
Because the guy, that loving what is, and that's certainly what we're being taught right now. The loving all method, and no, there's another method in there.
You made me snort on. Thanks, Tommy. You know all those things Regina says.
Refer back to the group on Facebook if you want to know more.
Hey, Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, Andy.
All right. Okay. NTI Acts Chapter 2. The Holy Spirit knows the way. The Holy Spirit sees the whole plan, not only your part in it. Therefore, you must trust all that the Holy Spirit asks you to do, even if what is asked does not seem to be for you. You know, even if you can't reason your way to it and go, well, how's that going to benefit me?
Yeah, and both of us have had some experience where we had some pretty outlandish things that seemed to be asked and didn't make any sense, and then later would, and maybe more than, probably more than you than I, but later would make sense.
Do you have examples?
I don't know. There was something with when you were out west and that whole broccoli, you weren't supposed to ask for a hair tie. And
That was a wild story, and that was when I was on an intensive with Hofmeister's group, and you know, I got to, it was Canada, I got to Canada for 3 weeks, and I had, you know, was had wear my hair long, and I had didn't bring a single thing to put my hair up with. Nobody had anything. And Kirsten said something like, I said, can you pick me up? They were going to the grocery. Can you pick me up some at the grocery? And she's like, well, if it's, you know, if it's convenient when we're walking by the broccoli and we happen to see, or something like that. And then they actually brought me, you know, the big fat rubber bands that they put around broccoli. That's what I got for hair tie. And I think that, you know, you really do have to trust. In that same trip, actually, I have a story that talks about really trusting things. We were going to do a field trip, and we couldn't decide where to go on the field trip with this devotional group and stay for 3 weeks in Canada. And then we decided to go to the courts. And, you know, I was a active sitting judge at the time, and we were in Canada, and so their courts were different, you know. And at that time I had a phone phobia. I hated to talk on the phone. I don't know. Anyway, that's another story. But and I kept hearing this message. I mean, like, words, like as if there's somebody whispering in my ear saying, we're going, who's going to set it up? And I wasn't going to set it up because I had a phone phobia, right? But I kept hearing these words when I would lay down at night. You're the one that needs to make the call. You're the one that needs to make the call. And so finally, I went, okay, daggone it. I'll make the call. I'll call these people out of the blue, tell them I'm studying A Course in Miracles with a bunch of hippies, and then we want to come see their court system. So I made the phone call. I'm picking up the phone to make the call, and then I heard that same voice very, very clearly say, but don't tell them you're a judge. And it just knocked me off my rocker because...
all your ammunition's been...
Yes. Yes, I mean, the phone's like ringing, and I hear this. I'm like, oh, great. How do you make a phone call if you can't lead with that? but, yeah, so I have had some profound instances of trust. I think that one, an example for Connie was when my very recent ex-husband was... he moved out of my house, the house we had together, and moved out to Connie's cabin because Connie wasn't living there at the time. And it felt on all fronts like, well, at some point Connie wanted to move back in, but you know, Connie's so nice that she didn't want to say, hey, get out of my house so I can move back in, or anything kinder even. And then she finally sat with it and really, I mean, you can tell, this is your story, if you want to tell the rest of it.
I'm well, the best I remember is that I couldn't see any alternative of what I was going to do, and I said, you know, there's a better way of looking at this, there's another way of looking at this, and when I got still enough and got out of my anxiety, it took a while. It was clear, almost voice-like, that said, "You just need to go and tell the truth. This is your home, and that you need to move back to it."
And this story really is in the real spirit of what's being said here. The Holy Spirit sees the whole plan, not only your part in it. Therefore, you must trust all the Spirit asks you to do, even if what is asked does not seem to be for you. Because, you know, again, the Holy, and of course, Miracles talks about this as well. The Holy Spirit sees the whole picture. So Connie asked Rick to move out. He willingly did that. He had a few months where he floundered a little bit, but then, I mean, he is living the dream now, so to speak. But he is. I mean, he's moved to Myrtle Beach, and he loves to play golf. He's working on a golf course there. Met a woman that he's crazy about. They've been married now for a couple of years, and he's just as happy as he can be. so it's just really cool to see all that. I mean, just see all, and you thought you were protecting him by not asking him.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I had so much guilt about it because it hadn't been, I don't know, 2 months before that we were telling him you could live there the rest of his life. Just do whatever you want to the cabin. So.
Yeah. So you don't know what your part in the whole is. So if it doesn't make any sense to you, of course, in this instance, it worked out, you know, in everybody's favor, but it always does, right, with
yeah.
the Holy Spirit. Just because you can't see the sense of it doesn't mean this is not what you should be doing. Good story.
Exactly.
Yeah. For the Holy Spirit does not look at the world and see separated sons of God, each in need of separate plans of salvation, which is the way we would work things out. You know, we're moving our pieces on the chessboard and going, if I move here, it affects this one here, and I got to move that one there and that one there. It's a whole. It's the whole song idea. The whole idea of it's all a song, and every note has its perfect place in the song.
Blend for harmony.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit sees one son and one plan, and so what he gives to you is not for you alone. To learn this is so, you must do as he asks and trust him.
Yeah, and you have to trust, because like you said, some of these things just don't make sense otherwise.
The paths given may seem to be individualized, and the experiences may seem personal, but I assure you that they are not. Everything that is given by the Holy Spirit is given for all and to all, as the Holy Spirit does not see separate parts, but only one. When you hear stories of your brothers and sisters' experience with the Holy Spirit, rejoice and know that experience was also given for you. In this way, you demonstrate trust. Through the demonstration of trust, trust shall grow within you, and you may hear and see more. And, you know, this is really sweet. I hadn't really seen this in there before that I recall. But because it's one song, and the Holy Spirit, you know, guides the song and the whole, the one in one direction, when I see things moving for you, right, because you're following the Holy Spirit, I can rejoice because I know that the Holy Spirit, you know, what we tend to think of is reward for the one. Oh, I follow the Holy Spirit, so I got the good stuff. Sorry about y'all. You don't know what you're going to do. But no, I mean, if you're following Holy Spirit and you're having experiences that demonstrate that you are, in fact, in line with guidance, I can rejoice because I know that the one plan is being fulfilled.
Yeah, how sweet. That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, really sweet. We are on page 217. There will be symbols, and there will be symbols of symbols, but always it is true that only the truth is true. Therefore, do not be caught up in your symbols. Do not identify with them, fight for them, or argue with your brother about the symbols you choose to love. In this way, the symbol becomes but another idol that blinds you to the truth. Remember that Jesus left the earth so you would not make an idol of him, but you would learn from him the way of truth.
I don't know if we got that lesson, Jesus.
Well, and you know, when we're young and maybe at various stages in this path, and I mean young on the path, you know, we get excited about stuff, and so if you're not seeing it my way, I'm getting upset, and I'm like, no, you don't understand. This is what Holy Spirit told me. You are messing it all up, and you got to hear what I'm saying, right? And it just becomes another tool of division, a tool of to see separate people, separate interests, separate minds, separate all of it, and And again, this part about Jesus left the earth so you would not make an idol of him, but you would learn from him the way of truth. I mean, it's not like, It's not like, you know, and actually that's what's happened with religion is, you know, they've gone, oh, there, he said he was the Son of God. Lucky him, not me. I'm not the Son of, I mean, you know, I'm not the Son of God. He was a saint. He was a savior. He was all these things that I'm not. What he was doing was showing the way. You know, I mean, he laid out for us the path. Anyway, I'm done with that. Yes, the older brother, Kathy says. Yeah, exactly. Therefore, know and remember this, because this is what Jesus taught. There is no death, and the answer that you seek is already here within you. Peter was a teacher, but when he spoke, the Holy Spirit spoke through him. And when the people listened, the Holy Spirit listened for them, pointing to the words they were to hear. Which is just, again, it's this idea that, wait a minute, I'm going to go. Everything that is given by the Holy Spirit is given for all and to all, as the Holy Spirit does not see separate parts, but only one. So, you know, we can get caught up in our, ooh, listen to the Holy Spirit coming through me, right? Our spiritual ego, right? But it's like, it's just so sweet because Holy Spirit is, or inner wisdom or the true self, oneness is on both sides of that equation. I mean, it's Holy Spirit speaking to Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, and people are hearing through Holy Spirit in their minds. Holy Spirit's going, listen up, this is an important part, it's coming, right? So it's again that idea that there's no separation there, it's the one song. It's just, I'm moving my hands and y'all can't see me, but Connie can.
She's doing very nice.
Just that flow, right? And Holy Spirit is has all of it.
And I think another thing that's probably relevant here is there is only one Holy Spirit. There's not my Holy Spirit and your Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not getting some specific guidance from Holy Spirit. But there's only one Holy Spirit. And also, there's only one ego. One delusional thought system.
One delusional thought system, exactly. Yep. Do not be confused by all that you see and hear and experience within the world. It does not need to take a specific form to be used by the Holy Spirit for your teaching and your guidance. Since He is the overseer of all things can be used by Him for your benefit. And, you know, that goes back to the idea that I was talking about a while ago. I don't know anything it's for. I know that that all things can be used by Holy Spirit to wake me up, bring me home, whatever term you want to use, and that I don't need this paragraph, verse, whatever it is telling me that I don't need to look at things and be confused about, you know, how that could happen, or, you know, why is that person doing that, and how does that fit with my beliefs about the truth and all of that. I can just trust that this is all taking the form that it's taking for my awakening.
Very good.
I will teach you how to listen to Him in all situations and at all times. Listen to me and be glad. For those of you who have just joined us, we are on page 217 of NTI, Acts chapter 2. Your joy shall increase as you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. For He shall lead you to see no value where there is none, and to know the love that is already within your heart.
That's sweet.
This love, which is the source of all joy, is not a special love that includes some, but not all. It is an encompassing love from which joy comes bursting forth from your heart into the world that you see. That's cool too. That's not one. I got every other sentence underlined in here, but not that one.
And I think the nice thing about that one. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You go.
It's not a special love that includes some, but not all. And that's our lesson on specialness. I mean, how could we seek for that specialness? Because in that specialness, we're separating ourselves, and that's the whole point, is to give up the separation of the individual self. So so when I catch myself now wanting that specialness, I realize what a facade it is. It's more of an attack than the love that I used to think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then this last sentence, the love of the Holy Spirit, is an encompassing love from which joy comes bursting forth from your heart into the world that you see. Again, it's the emphasis that that Holy Spirit lives within you. This is, you know, that's what they just told us. This is what Jesus taught. The answer that you seek is already here within you. So, you know, so we look outside of ourselves to be the receiver of someone else's special love so that we can feel like we have self-worth. And the truth is, the love of the Holy Spirit is not something that someone else is going to give us or that's going to come from an outside entity. And, okay, now I'm loved by the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going. The love comes from within you, the same place the Holy Spirit is, right? I mean, the Holy Spirit is love, the love within you. And so that it's a love that starts within you and that you extend, and that's how you experience the love of the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's very cool. That's very cool. And that, of course, is where we started with the steps to listening within for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The love that is the guidance, right?
Yeah.
And it's all going to come within. And, it, you know, and I know we've been taught the lessons, you know, that I'm not seeking for love, but I'm seeking to love. I think that's it might even be
from the movie.
From the movie.
Brother, Son, Sister, Man.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, because, and that's a little hard to understand, but your explanation there was just lovely.
Yes, and Kathy's pointing us to that other method you were referring to a while ago, the loving consciousness method.
Thank you, Kathy.
Okay, so NTI Acts chapter 3, page 218, but we are being directed to read from the Bible, and I'll be reading through from the New International Version, Acts chapter 3. And verses 1 through 10. Okay. Titled here, Peter Heals a Lame Beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I'm laughing because I just clicked back on to Pal Talk, and when I said we were going to go read from the Bible, she said, let's hope they're in a better mood. Yes, that's a much happier story than what we've been hearing, what we heard at the end of, what were we reading before? At the end of John, yeah. Pardon me. Okay, so let's hear Holy Spirit's interpretation. Peter was a teacher who gave what he had, and what he gave came to him from the Holy Spirit.
Beautiful.
It was through giving it that Peter learned he had it to give, for he could not give it if it was not, he could not give it if it was not already his, which is what we just said. The miracles that Peter witnessed, he witnessed for himself within his own mind. And these miracles were extended to others, that they too may begin to learn who they are. This is what made Peter a great teacher. He shared all that he had, recognizing that it was for all. And through this practice, Peter came to see that all were not separate, but they were one. And again, it's this, I mean, it's just this whole contrast that we just talked about between this specialness, you know, like God's going to bestow some gift on me and that's going to make me, you know, revered among men, right? And it's just the difference of, you know, just humbly extending what is yours to extend, which is the, which is everything, which is the love of Holy Spirit.
You know, this also reminds me of an experience I had with the Hofmeister group when we used to have some retreats or whatever out of, in my cabin. And some of us who were newer to teaching were asked to teach, but we were always instructed to only teach from experience, to not try and take something from the course and squeeze it and make it fit or whatever, but to teach from our own personal experience, because that is what we had to give.
And
the teaching, so you'll learn it, and that's what's happened to Peter here. As he taught, as he had the certainty that we were talking about before, and gave that away, it became his certainty.
Sweet, thank you. The ego is the thought within the mind that separates. The ego says that what is true is not true, and what is not is the truth. But the ego is not the truth, and so its words cannot be believed. You experience the ego as a stream of thoughts within the mind that seem to interpret, counsel, identify, judge, and spring forth as ideas. In themselves, these thoughts seem to be nothing to you, although you listen to them and act on all that they say. These thoughts rule your mind and your interpretation of the world because you believe what they say. Yet they are based on a foundation of separateness, which is not what is true. And so, what is true is not in what they say. To listen to these thoughts and believe them is ignorance, for you are listening to what is not true, but believing what you hear. Any action you take based on these thoughts is ignorant action, for it is action based on untruth in an unreal world. And, you know, of course, ignorance here is contrasted with wisdom. If you were listening to the other voice, you would be guided by wisdom. So it's you know, it's not saying, you know, you're stupid when it says you're ignorant. It's saying, well, you know, exactly what it's saying exactly what it said, but that, yeah, that you're teaching a thought system of separation. And just like Peter taught from the love of Holy Spirit and shared from there, if you're sharing separation, you're going to it's that perceptual loop. You're going to continue to experience separation. You're teaching separation, and that's what you're teaching yourself. That's what you're learning.
Right. Very good. And then I will say something that it's been a real stickler for me, and it's been real helpful for me, and that is to know that there is two thought systems. There's the thought system of the Holy Spirit, and there's the thought system of the ego. And I'm participating in one or the other. I'm participating in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, or I'm participating in the ignorance of the ego. It's the two columns on the page.
Yeah, exactly. Ignorance is not guilt. It is a call for knowledge. It is the Holy Spirit that leads you through corrected perception, to the right knowledge that you seek. Right knowledge is true knowledge, and true knowledge is the knowledge of truth. Do not worry about the mistakes you have made. They are based on ignorance, which is illusion, and affects only that which is not reality.
Yeah, so don't worry that you screwed up by listening to the ego. Thus far, you haven't affected reality.
Yeah.
It's okay, son.
Yeah.
Son of God, you're still okay.
Yeah. Truth is changeless and unaffected.
Yes.
In fact, it says here, be happy that you've been mistaken. Be joyous that there's another way to see. This is what it means to repent. To repent is to choose again. Yes, Kathy, by the way, said choice A and choice B. Yeah, that we talked about before. And that's exactly what this is saying. To repent is to choose again. It's just choosing from the other column, right? It's choosing to be in that column, to be in that wisdom.
And the alignment with the Holy Spirit and that wisdom of the Holy Spirit, yes.
To repent is to decide to turn from the ways of ignorance and turn to the voice of knowledge.
And away from the ego and to the Holy Spirit.
Right. This is a joyous decision, for this is the decision that changes all things. This decision that you have made is a decision to listen to another voice. It is the decision to let go of the thoughts you have listened to until now, and to listen to another voice, the one that comes from God. This decision is a decision to change the habits you have had until now. It is a decision to see yourself through new eyes, eyes that are based on a foundation of truth.
And, of course, this is how the whole Course in Miracles was started. So it's been told over and over again, where Helen says there has to be a better way than Bill and I arguing all the time. Let us seek for a better way.
Yeah, it's the willingness to see that that there is another choice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I would reiterate, you know, we talked about Peter reinforcing the truth of who he was, the truth of the Holy Spirit, by teaching that. We talked about ego, reinforcing when you're thinking thoughts of separation, acting on those thoughts and only listening to the voice of the ego, that's what you're teaching yourself. And so NTI tells us it's a decision to see yourself through new eyes. So we know that if you continue to believe the same old stuff, and it talks about the habits in here, the habit energy, right? You, if you continue doing what, you know, was it Einstein that said it? Insanity is beating your head against the wall and expecting different results or something like that.
Doing the same thing over and over. Again, expecting different results, exactly.
Yeah. So this is, and then of course Regina talks about the perceptual loop. What I think I see, what I see I experience, what I experience I think, right? So the idea is, you've got to get out of the loop,
right? And so then that way we can let any less than positive thought, negative thought, fear, all the things on the the bad column on the page, right? We can let that be our barometer to say, there is another way. There is another way to see this. And so let me trust and pray for the guidance. That's where we started.
To see the other way. To see the Spirit's plan.
Because I know it's there. Because that's all these negativities are about. Or they can be used, like anything can be used by the Holy Spirit, to show me the other way. Right? This is not what I want. This is not what's been promised.
Yeah, of course, Course in Miracles says Holy Spirit teaches by contrast. So you can see what this has gotten you, how far this has gotten you.
Right.
Yeah. And Kathy points out that we just listened to the Choose Again material for the gentle healing class tonight. And that's what this, you know, and that's what certainly what we heard when we listened to Diedrich talk about that, you know, and talk about the beliefs that you build when you're a little child, and then you continue to see the world through that filter. And so, you know, like the guy who thought he had to be a doctor and then quit that and went and became a kindergarten teacher.
Right.
You know, it's the willingness to see through different eyes, to see beyond the paradigm that you've built for yourself, the loop that you've enclosed yourself in.
Yeah, and that's what's so cool about what's really being said here is, you know, it doesn't have to be something we just read here and forget about. We can truly use this. There is a better way. There has to be another choice. Holy Spirit's here for me. So let me, in my angst or in my fear or whatever negative experience I seem to be in, let me turn this over at this moment and suffer with this no more. I mean, we both told the story of our sister Janet who had a horrendous experience with her husband, and she said, I don't know how to see this differently, but I know there's a better way to see this, and said, I will sit here until I know what it is. And she said she sat there for hours, but she truly had a miraculous healing experience as she sat there, and she tells the story quite beautifully, and I can't and won't tell the story very well, but the point is that she decided to stay with it for the other choice, knowing that it was available.
Yes, to open the Holy Spirit, which is takes us back to where we started. The prayer that we started with, therefore pray in this way, Father, I do not know what is best for me now in this time, in this place, that I may be led back to you. Because I cannot see the path, and I can't see it because of the filter that I'm looking for, right?
Right.
We're looking
for it.
Yeah.
Anxiety and
whatever
it is you're going through.
Because I cannot see the path I am ready to walk, take my hand and send me your voice to guide me. I shall go where it asks me to go, and I shall do as it asks me to do, in joy and peace and certainty. And then, again, let me go back to the end here of Acts chapter 3. This decision is a decision to change the habits you have had until now. It is a decision to see yourself through new eyes, eyes that are based on a foundation of truth. This is why I am here. I am here to help you make this change from believing in the false to listening to the voice of what is true. This is the decision of your joy. This is your path. This is your way. And I will help you until you do not need this help anymore.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
I will not leave you comfortless.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. How nice is that for the Holy Spirit to be telling us, If you simply choose this way, please know that your decision is going to be one of joy. It is your path. It is your way. And I'll help you.
Every step of the way.
Yeah. Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Mm, it is. It is. Okay. Well, it is 7:56 where I am. Anyways, 4 minutes to the hour. We are at the end of this Acts chapter 3. This is a miraculous book. It's miraculous teaching. I am thrilled to be in Acts. It's just, just the love just pours through the words that are written here on the page, and I'm grateful.
Really, it's a really nice experience to be teaching this with you, Jacqueline, because I can feel the joining here. I don't know whether you guys can feel it out there or not, but when Jacqueline and I are here sharing these words, they become so sweet. They become so joyful. And it's just nice to have it to share.
Aww. I love you. I love you guys. Thank you for letting us be on this journey with you and share with you here each week.
Good night.
Bye, everybody. See you in gentle healing.